tons of attention gets heaped on the conservative white Protestant evangelicals who turned out in such incredible numbers to vote for Donald Trump and who continue to pledge their fealty to him today. But the Catholic vote seems harder to quantify and to report on, at least in the mainstream press. Dr. Mark J. Rozelle, he's an editor of the timely 2018 book titled Catholics and U.S. Politics After the 2016 Elections, Understanding the Swing Vote. And his recent article headlined, Catholics, Not Evangelicals, Will Make or Break Trump, appeared in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Mark, thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Delighted to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You write that economic progress and opposition to abortion drive today's white Catholic vote toward the Republicans. Talk about that, please, if you would.
Sure. So for my parents' generation, Catholic identity was very critical to their decision to support, for example, John F. Kennedy for the presidency in 1960. Identity is not really all that important today for Catholics. You can look at, for example, John Kerry, Catholic, who lost the Catholic vote to Methodist George Bush in 2004. And so there really has been a significant change over time, generationally, in how Catholics view their loyalties politically. Up until the 1970s, the Catholic vote was part of the old New Deal Democratic coalition that voted heavily Democrat time and again. But with the rise of the abortion issue in the 1970s, with the Roe decision, of course, and then a cultural change as well that was already taking place. So for my parents' generation, people who came to this country, moved to the inner cities, joined labor unions, American Catholics were Democrats, but as their children and grandchildren started to attain economic success, moved to the suburbs, they opened up more to the Republican Party over time. And that's especially so among white Catholics. And we've seen, beginning in the 1980s, a shifting of the political loyalties of white Catholics to become more bipartisan, more open to voting Republican, and then over time, increasingly becoming Republican, to the point where today the white Catholic vote leans strongly Republican, and the minority Catholic voters, particularly Latinos, lean heavily Democratic.
Mm. You see Catholic voters as determinant in the three swing states that put Trump in the White House. Has enough changed in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin since 2016, either demographically or economically, to significantly alter the odds for reelection there?
So the polling data I have seen suggests that there has been some positive movement among white Catholics toward Joe Biden. Not substantially so, but maybe enough to make a significant difference. So as you point out, it was only 107,000 vote difference in those three states combined that delivered the election in the Electoral College to Donald Trump in 2016. And the Catholic component was a significant portion of that, particularly white Catholics. And so just looking at the voting data, Hillary Clinton received significantly fewer white Catholic votes, about 10% fewer than Barack Obama had in 2008 and 2012. And that was very significant. Now, there is some recent data showing that there has been some drop-off in positivity ratings for Donald Trump among white Catholics. That could be significant this year. Demographically, I don't think there's been too much of a change. The other big disappointment, by the way, for Democrats in 2016 for Hillary Clinton's campaign was the predicted Latino surge that everybody talked about. Never happened. So Latino voting actually was down several percentage points in 2016 over what it had been in 2012. And it was about 10% more positive to the Republicans, to Trump, than it had been for Mitt Romney. And that was quite a shock. And some have suggested that some core social issues that appeal to more conservative Catholics, and that would include some Latinos, not just white Catholics, may have been a driving force there for Trump in 2016 to make that difference.
You write that white Catholic support for Trump is eroding. If that is the way it is, what do you see influencing that shift the most?
Right. So eroding might be a bit stronger than I would put it at this point. I think it's been somewhat declining. And even if it declines only at the margins, given the closeness of the vote in the critical Great Lakes states that have substantial Catholic populations and were critical in 2016, that would be very important. So, for example, some of the appeal that Donald Trump had to white Catholic voters, I am sure, was more economic-based than faith-based. He talked about bringing back the manufacturing sector, for example, to those states and reviving their economies. So one reason that there has been some decline, I am sure, in support among white Catholics for Trump in those critical states is the fact that he has not been able to bring back those sectors of the economy in any substantial way. And I think that's weighed significantly on some of those voters who were basically sold the promise that he was going to bring back manufacturing jobs and bring back the economies of those parts of the country that were suffering as a result of globalization.
Similar to the way American evangelicals are more likely to blindly support all pro-Israel policies than many American Jews, white U.S. Catholics are polling almost 20 points in favor of Donald Trump and against Joe Biden, the lifelong Catholic. How do you analyze these trends?
Right. So for many of the white Catholics, as I was pointing out before, the shifting in political loyalties away from being part of the old New Deal coalition and automatically voting Democrat beginning in the 1970s and 80s had to do with the so-called life issues. And so the abortion issue pulled away many religious Catholics from the Democratic Party when the party was perceived as too strongly pro-abortion rights. And at that point, I think many white Catholics started to question their past political loyalty to the Democratic Party. And also, as I pointed out before, the generational change, right, that, our grandparents may have come from the old country and moved to the inner cities and joined labor unions and voted automatically Democratic, but their grandchildren look at the world differently. You know, they've had higher education, achieved economic success. Until recent years, that generally translated into Republican support, a little less so today. But I think that is an important component of that.
So it's no longer primarily denominational teachings or shared membership that are driving seemingly faith-based voters. Are there historical precedents for this?
Yeah, there are. In response to your question there, identity is just not as important as it used to be. So Donald Trump can win 81% of white evangelicals, even though he mangled important, lines from the Bible in his speech at Liberty University, and he has nothing in his personal background that at all is compatible with white evangelical voters, particularly in the Deep South in the United States. But it really comes down to policy more than anything else. So in doing my research on the intersection of religion and politics, I've interviewed a lot of leaders in the evangelical movement and those who led the Catholics for Trump endeavor back in 2016. And they will tell you that Trump's promises that he made in the campaign on policy issues and especially on appointments to the federal courts and more than anything the Supreme Court were what sealed the deal. That they had been frustrated by having been told by past Republican Party nominees for public offices that they supported the social issues agenda of religious conservatives, only to find that when successfully elected to office, the social issues got put to the back burner. But what they heard from Donald Trump was somebody who was not part of the Republican establishment, wasn't going to wait on the social issues, was going to deliver what he promised. And now they say, look at what he has done. Look at what he did on Israel. Look at what he's doing on social issues. Look at his appointments. So from their standpoint, and I'm talking about religious conservatives, the evangelicals as well as conservative white Catholics, this is a president who delivers on the policy issues that make a real difference to millions of people. And that's what matters more than identity.
And when you say identity, are you talking about the way in which the president talks, the many times in which people say he's not telling the truth? All of that just gets set aside?
It does get set aside. And, you know, we can have a long conversation about that and, you know, what that means for our politics. I find it extremely discouraging, right? And I found it very discouraging in 2016 that personal character didn't seem to matter to the religious conservative voters, who, by the way, during the Clinton impeachment scandal, by about a 3-to-1 margin in public opinion surveys, said that personal, ethical, moral character were critical to whether someone deserves a position in public life and having public trust in a position such as the presidency. And those numbers have completely flipped in the Trump era. The same polls asking the same questions show that among those who support Donald Trump in the white evangelical, white Catholic communities, personal character is not considered as important. So it's very situational, I have to say. It's not based on any sort of broader ethical, moral principles that are applied consistently across political parties or whoever happens to hold political office. You know, it's the old tribalism argument, right? It's, you know, whose side are you on? And I'm going to take the position that supports my person, which, you know, whichever position that happens to be.
What about Hispanic Catholics, a demographic that the Biden-Harris campaign is counting on? Where is that going?
Right. Well, I think they need to do a lot more outreach to Catholic voters in critical states in the Electoral College, both white Catholics and Latino Catholics. They need to make a much better showing among white Catholics than Hillary Clinton did in 2016. I don't see a lot of activity there in the Biden campaign. Maybe I'm missing it, but it doesn't seem to be a very prominent part of the campaign now. And Latino Catholics, importantly, can't be taken for granted. And I think maybe a little bit of that happened in 2016. Everybody assumed, many of the smart analysts, right, based on some of the comments that Donald Trump had made about immigrants and Mexicans and the like, you know, the terrible things he had said, that there was going to be a Latino surge, and he was going to get overwhelmed by the Latino vote. Well, the Latino vote was down several percentage points from what it had been in 2012, and it was slightly more positive to Trump than it had been to Romney. I mean, it was 3/4 for Obama in 2012. It was about 2/3 for Clinton in 2016, the Latino vote. But that several percentage point loss in support among Latinos for Clinton over what Obama had achieved, plus the drop in turnout among Latinos, was devastating to her campaign. So they need to do a lot there, and they need to do a lot of outreach and take those votes very seriously.
Are there other trends or themes that you're keeping an eye on in the last weeks before the election? What are you looking at?
Wow. So I'm looking at the key states, of course, in the Electoral College and ignoring the national public opinion polls that led everybody in the wrong direction 4 years ago in terms of analyzing the state of the race and the direction where it was going. I think the presidential debates are going to be especially important in this cycle. President Trump is trying to paint a picture of Joe Biden as not up to the job to the presidency, not only, you know, being whatever, low energy, whatever phrase he uses, sleepy, but even cerebrally lacking in what one needs in order to perform the job. And, you know, Joe Biden just needs to have a great debate performance, you know, and one good debate performance on September 29th, you know, the first debate, I think will set aside the, you know, what I consider the mischaracterization of Joe Biden by the president that, you know, the president's trying to drive home to American voters that, you know, the presidency's not in safe hands with Joe Biden. You know, so I think in terms of the policy issues, where the candidates stand, and the alignment of voters who care deeply about those issues, I think everything's set at this point. There's a relatively very small portion of the electorate that is a swing voter portion, and we've been talking about some of those today, of course, who I consider absolutely critical in this election cycle. So an enormous amount of money is going to be spent reaching out, I assume, to a relatively small segment of the electorate in several key states in the Electoral College.
Dr. Mark J. Rosell is Dean of the Schar School of Policy and Government at George Mason University. His extensive published work at the intersection of religion and U.S. politics includes Catholics and U.S. politics after the 2016 elections, Understanding the Swing Vote, God at the Grassroots, 2016, The Christian Right in American Politics, Religion and the American Presidency, and the Oxford Encyclopedia of Politics and Religion. Mark, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today, and we hope to talk with you again.
Thank you, Elton. I enjoyed the interview, and I'd be happy to come back.